السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: فلولا نفر من كل فرقة منهم طائفة ليتفقهوا في الدين، لا آخر الآية. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My dear respect, brothers and sisters, inshallah, until he makes the copies, we're going to just review from last time's session. So the important portions of that session were about the regular discharge of blood that the sisters, they see after hitting puberty. And we talked about that with the types, that there was hayd, nifas, and istihada. And if our sisters did have questions, they can always send it over. Hayd is the menstrual cycle, which takes place every single month. The least amount of days were 3 days, and the most are 10 days. Then we have the nifas, which is the postnatal. It's the one that takes place post-birth, right after childbirth. It doesn't have to come for every single woman, but the most is 40 days that nifas can happen for. And the third type is istihada, that if it's not nifas and if it's not hayd, then it's istihada, which comes out due to illness. And then in most cases, the sister will be considered a mazur, and then she will follow those rulings. We also talked about the faraiz of ghusl. This is very simple, inshallah, if somebody can quickly mention the three faraiz of ghusl. Ji, kaun batayenge? We've already done this. Yes. Yes, anyone else from this side? In order. تین غسل کے فرائض بتا دیں ورنہ تو سب ناپاک بیٹھے ہیں اس کے مطلب رائٹ وی ہیو ٹو نو دس از سم تھنگ دیٹس ویری امپورٹنٹ جی جی اوکے ناک میں غرارہ اور پورے باڈی میں تو ناک میں کس حد تک نرم ہڈی تک جب واپس آنے لگتا ہے پانی اوکے اوکے اینڈ وین وی ڈو دا گارگلنگ دین ایز مچ ایز وی کین ٹو دا بیک آف دا تھروٹ جی ون وی سی دا ہول باڈی پھر اس میں کان نیبل انڈر آرم پٹس آل دوز ایریاز ول بی کورڈ اینڈ اف دیئر از اونلی لائک اے اسمال ایریا لیفٹ ڈرائی دین دا فرد غسل ہیز ناٹ ٹیکن پلیس اینڈ دین دا ایریا ہیز ٹو بی واشڈ سو دیٹس وائی دیز تھری ایوری ون شوڈ نو دین دا سنہ پروسیجر وی ڈیڈ دا ہول پروسیجر ٹو فرام اے ٹو زی میکنگ دا انٹینشن Oh yes, so that's a good question. All at once, the whole body, or it can be done in steps. So one after another, the sunnat way is the right side first, and then the left side, and then the whole body. So if we feel that if it wasn't done enough on one side, then you can always rotate. But we have to make sure that water reaches in all the areas, so that a person is then considered to be pure from the janaba. Okay, inshallah. So is he here? So شروع کر لیتے ہیں انشاءاللہ وہ نہیں کھانا ہوتے بات سو یا یا سو یس دیٹس اے گڈ کوسچن دی کوسچن از دیٹ اف وی مسڈ آؤٹ ان ایریا So in wudu, we can wash it later, and wudu is still complete. So in ghusl also is the same thing. We came out, it was not washed, but if we did some ibadah with that dry area, now that ibadah did not count. That has to be repeated. So we're going to wash that area, and then also repeat whatever ibadah we did, let's say for salat, that has to be repeated, because then it's not going to be valid in that case. Okay, now today we're going into istinja. It was very important. I mean, it was in the next chapter on the list, but But it's very important because before Ramadan, we want to get the basics out of the way. We got the fara'id of wudu, the sunnah of wudu, we got the fara'id of ghusl, the sunnah of ghusl, and major aspects of fiqh, of how fiqh was transferred to us. Those important things. Now, istinja is also one of those important things, that if a person did not even clean himself properly in the bathroom, then the wudu and ghusl, all of that depends on it. Right? So, istinja. Let's begin with the meaning. Istinja comes from the word naja'a, najat. In Urdu, we use the word najat as well. Najat, main chahta hoon is cheez se najat hasil ho. So, istinja means talab-e najat, that you're asking, you're seeking to get yourself away from the filth, from the najasat, from the dirtiness, from the impurity. Istinja ka maana ye ki apne aap ko napaki se dur karna, napaki ko zail karna, se najat hasil karna. So you'll find the term in the terminology of fiqh, you'll find that cleaning the private parts after passing urine or stool with water or earth. And we'll talk about that in detail, that what are those things that can be used. But in simple understanding, that when a person cleans himself after using the bathroom, that's what he's doing, that's istinja. Now, there are three rulings that are related to istinja. So many times we think that it's always fard. Istinja is not always fard, but it's the best way of taking taharat, and it must be done. Now, let's say somebody uses the bathroom and there is no najasat on his private parts. See, the discharge was such that there is no najasat whatsoever, right? So in that case, it is not farz for this person to, because there is no najasat, there is no filth. So just because urine came out, it doesn't make the istinja farz, but it's actually the najasat that is found on those private areas where the najasat comes out from that makes the ruling of istinja. So if there is no najasat, let's say, now in that case, if a person washes himself, he gets a reward of mustahab act. That he didn't have to, there was nothing there, but he did it anyway, so mustahab. Then there is the case that there was some najasat on his body, but is less than a dirham. And we have to always remember this standard of dirham, it will come again and again. When it comes to clothing, when it comes to the body, the dirham is usually the circumference of the palm, just the round area in the palm. Now some scholars have said that it's like a coin, of a nickel. Or some have said that if you try to hold water in your palm, just the very center area, that's what it means, that much amount of najasa. If it's less than that, you're still okay. Salat can be done with that type. Of course, it's not the best way. But if it's not that much, then salat can be done with that type of najasa. So if it's less than a dirham and you still wash yourself, then you're fulfilling the sunnah. That's a sunnah ruling for istinja. Then if najasa came out, whether it's urine or stool, but it spread. Now we don't know, it could be more than a dirham. And once it goes over the dirham limit, now it's farz. You have to do istinja. Without that, there is no other way around it. So that's why we must know these bottom lines. Every time we have to do istinja. But this is for our knowledge. You should know there's different types. In some cases, there's no najasa on the body. So just because I went into the bathroom and used the toilet, does it mean it's farz on me to wash that area or not? So it will be on the standard of how much the najasat came out and how much of it is on the body. But in for practical reasons, in every case, all the time, we should be regular with the istinja. Now, the second part here, yes. Yes, so I mean that is going to come up in number 5. So I'll discuss it in detail there. We have the next portion is that, is there a sunnah procedure? Yes, there is. The reason I brought this question that there is a sunnah, because our youngsters and all of us, we have to be proud of our religion, that it covers everything, right? You don't find this in Christianity, you don't find this in Judaism, that, oh, the Prophet taught them how to use the bathroom, how to take a shower, how to go to your wife. All of that in detail is there in Islam. This is one of the miracles of Islam, that it covers all the aspects. And this is ajeeb, that we don't have to always put our logic into it and try to figure out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعْتَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. This is a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that not only is the scripture there, but there is a practical example. That Rasulullah came along with the scripture, that these are the rules, these are how you apply the rules. a practical example is in front of us. So this distinguishes our religion, that alhamdulillah, even to the very small bits and details, we have the sunnah procedure. And that also obligates upon us that we're not supposed to be using our mind and our understanding to follow. We already have approved a model in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something to be proud over. That's why I brought this point. We all know it's sunnah, but it covers, why is it in our religion? It distinguishes Islam that we cover all the aspects, things that we don't even want to talk about, but because our knowledge requires, it's important for us to know the right and wrong to the very last bit. That's why Rasulullah's whole life is in front of us. Those things that took place in the household, his wives, and those who were regular coming there, their narrations are there about how the Prophet dealt with these things at home. The other imams have a stricter view than this. They don't go with the dirham amount. They say that if there's any najasa, then you have to go ahead and wash yourself. That's why we're sticking with the Hanafi fiqh, so that no one gets confused. But our perspective usually covers those as well. But if somebody needs to learn more from a different fiqh professor, then at a different time, individually I can explain that. There are sometimes big differences are there. But in this case, it covers the Hanafi fiqh will, inshallah, will suffice. Then we have, this next point here is, what are the guidelines before going to the bathroom? Now, the first point here is finding a place of privacy. Now, nowadays we have bathrooms. You can go into it and the privacy is there. But those people living in the village, those who live in the countryside, they don't have these type of facilities. So the rulings of Islam are always simple. It's something that everyone can do. When the moon sighting comes, you won't find instructions about using telescope and calculation. You'll find the simplest way of determining that people living in the country can also determine. People educated, uneducated, all can easily determine the rulings of Islam. And that's why, in this case, knowing about finding privacy, we find from the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, there are hadiths from Jabir radiallahu anhu and other companions that wherever Rasulullah ﷺ needed to relieve himself, there are two ways. One is that he would walk so far away that out of the sight of people. One thing. Number two is that when he was around, he would get such covering around himself. Let's say there was big bushes, he would go around, or trees covering such that people cannot see of who is there and who is behind it. And Rasulullah, and we find in many miracles of Rasulullah where he ordered the trees to give him cover. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that these trees, they moved from their spot. We find these in many ahadith of Bidayah and Nihaya, that Rasulullah directly, he addressed the trees to give him cover, and they gave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam cover. So taking cover and privacy, that's the first point. Now second point is removing, now this one applies to us, removing the rings, removing badges and other objects. Now, this can be in many forms. Sometimes we have a t-shirt with Allah's name, with ahadith on it, with du'as, right? Similarly, you have rings and other, it could be a wristband, it can be anything we are wearing, which shows apparently the name of Allah, ahadith, and any Islamic content. That means good things that are usually taken to call people towards Islam. Any of that type of things have to be removed, or they can be put into a covering. Let's say a person has rings, he can take it off, put it into his pocket. If we have a phone and the Quran app is running, right? It's important that we turn it off. The ruling with these phones is that when the Quran is on, then we have to apply the etiquettes of the Quran onto it. That's what the scholars of this time are saying, that when we have the whole Quran, if I don't have wudu, I should not be touching the screen of the Quran, because at that moment, this is the mushaf for me, at that moment. So once that app is turned off and it's done with, then it's regular phone. So going, we have to make sure that these things are turned off. If there is a watch, it has any type of names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or names of the Prophet, or names of pious individuals, this is all related to being respectful. See, that's why in the bathroom as well, we don't recite the Quran. We don't say, we're not even supposed to be talking unless is there is a dire need for that. So all those objects which are apparently showing the name of Allah in ahadith and Islamic content, they have to be removed, covered, put away into the pocket and whatnot. So the next point after that we have is for the head covering. Now head covering, Rasulullah ﷺ, we have to study the seerah. We will find that in every time of his life, Rasulullah ﷺ used to cover his head. It was not just in the masjid or for prayer. But in all times, there were only one time where Rasulullah ﷺ would leave his head uncovered. That would be in the state of ihram. That when we would go for Hajj Umrah, in the ihram, we don't cover our head. But in regular practice, Rasulullah ﷺ had a different covering when he was traveling, a different covering when he was at home. So it doesn't have to be exactly what I'm wearing, but covering the head. And now the culture came in. Then you find from Bangladesh, the topis are different. From Pakistan, they're different. From Arab, they're different areas. So different designs, we don't have to get into that. But covering the head itself had been a regular practice of Rasulullah ﷺ. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he told his daughter Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, he said that I feel ashamed to uncover my head even in the bathroom because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. So they took it to that extent. Now there is permissible ways, and this is, you can say, just a sunnah, right? But we have to know that, okay, Rasulullah was regular in covering his head, and in the bathroom as well, we should try our best to cover our head. It's important to follow even the things that we consider to be small, but they have many wisdoms behind them. Then we have the dua. I think most of us already know. If somebody can recite it, I think we know the dua for entering the bathroom. MashaAllah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. And bismillah is put with almost every dua that we start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see, I put this under the things to do before entering the bathroom. So we should do it when we're outside and we're intending to go in. So this is the place to recite the dua and then go in. Sometimes the bathrooms are big and the wudu area is separate, and many of us have this. So then you can recite it after you're done with the wudu area and you're in the, let's say you use the faucet, and now you're going to use the toilet. Now before you go into that section, you can recite it as well. So there's a different ruling there if there's a huge bathroom. So we're not going to consider the whole area as a bathroom, but the area which the toilet is, and that area where we're going to open our satr, that's where we're going to recite the dua before getting into that area. Then to come out is ghufranaka. That's a short way of saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me. And the wisdom behind this, do we know this? MashaAllah. So he's saying that because we did not make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that amount of time. Because this question can rise, then why are we saying, Allah forgive me? This is a need. So maafi maangne ki kya zurat hai? Ye to lazmi cheez hai, karni thi. So maafi isliye maangte hain ki wo jo itna waqt bathroom mein guzara hai, wo Allah ke zikr ke baghair guzara. So this is, it also shows us how important it is that all time throughout the day, a moment is expected to be doing the zikr of Allah. In different forms, there's tilawat, there's the zikr, there's listening to the Quran in the car. But when we go in the bathroom, then those things cannot happen. So when we come out, we go ahead and say, Allah forgive us for that. Now, using the left foot to enter, this is also very important that every dirty thing that was done, Rasulullah ﷺ, you would notice that put the left side forward for the dirty thing. So even if it's for cleaning the body for istinja, it will be the left hand. Entering the bathroom area, it's the left hand. And for all the good things and the mubah things, Rasulullah ﷺ would give preference to the right side. I think these are very simple things. Then we go forward. How should we position ourselves for istinja? Okay. Now, when we go into the bathroom, you find that there are different directions, but the qibla area, right? We usually know which side is the qibla. So we have to avoid sitting towards the qibla, facing ourselves and our backs, both. You have to avoid doing both. Now, there are scholars who have differed upon this, that if you're inside the bathroom, you don't need to. But the Hanafi perspective is that even if you're inside the bathroom, you should not be facing towards the Qibla or your back towards the Qibla. Both of those things. And they've taken it from the Quran, the ayat, if you notice, it might be too small. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever honors the symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now symbols of Allah, those things that remind us who are, that thing that is there particularly for Islam. Now we know the Kaaba is one of those shaair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Those who honor it, they do it because of the piety of their hearts. And you'll find the next hadith, which is from Abu Dawood, where Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah has said, I am from you how a father is for his son. I teach you, so whenever one of you goes to the toilet, he should not face the Qibla or face his back towards it. He should not use his right hand to clean himself. So this is very clear in these matters, that we have to respect the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the children, now what happens is, the children, they're not mukallaf yet, they're not responsible. So the one who is seating the child has to take the responsibility of seating them properly. If you seat them towards the Qibla, any acts that are done wrong by the children until they hit puberty, the responsibility falls on the guardian. So if it's a sin, then the sin will go towards the guardian. If it's a good deed, the good deeds will go towards the guardian. Yeah, so if the direction is built that way and we cannot do anything about it, then scholars have said, at least to the best of our ability on the toilet, don't directly face the Qibla. Turn yourself as much as you can. If it's a place where you can build that and change, then it should be changed. Yes, yes. So for shower as well, because our satr is open, we should go ahead and respect that. And Rasulullah has went further with this. You'll find the next hadith, that when the Prophet saw spit, right, it was done towards the Qibla, and the Rasulullah scraped it off with his own hand, and it seemed like he disliked it, and the sign of disgust was apparent on his face and body. Then he said, if any one of you stands for the prayer, he is speaking in private to his Lord, or his Lord is between him and his Qibla. Therefore, he should not spit towards the Qibla, but he could spit either on the left side or under his foot. Then he took the corner of his sheet and spat into it and folded it. Like we have handkerchiefs, sometimes we go ahead and use that. So that's also a right way of doing it. Or to spit towards the left or under the foot. So that's very clear. So even spitting, so now we can get the idea that Rasulullah ﷺ was discouraging the fact of doing dirty things towards the Qibla. The next thing related to positioning oneself would be about sitting. Now, there is one narration where Rasulullah stood up and he urinated. There is one. That's why you find some people argue over this point. Whenever there is a rare narration, like it's not found that much or it's not as famous, that means there's a reason behind it. So in that case as well, Rasulullah did not find a clean place to sit. If he sat in that area, he would have become dirtier than before. So that's why Rasulullah in that one case stood up and urinated. We have to keep the sunnah in the same form. That does not mean for me, I have all the choices and I'm going to go ahead with the easiest. But I have to look at myself if I'm in the rest area. The bathroom is so dirty, it cannot be clean. Or you have no other option, then okay, for that person, this exception will come out. And okay, Rasulullah has done it. And it gives us a leeway. But in general cases, at home, in the masjid, in rest areas which are clean, sitting. We always give preference to sitting. And in the sitting position is the squatting position. It's to put yourself down, not on the seat. This came later on. And all of that is to put ease. Remember, I talked about this, that the bathroom, now they're making it as a place of enjoying oneself. And to take time out. You want to get away from the world? Let's go sit in the bathroom, take your phone, take your newspaper, take whatever you like. And, you know, that's going on, right? So we have to keep it in the terms of Islam, that this is a dirty area. This is a place that I don't want to be. And death can come at any time. So the least amount of time, and we make sure we get all the necessities done. You don't want to rush it either. So we find that in the bathroom, Rasulullah ﷺ, when he used to use it, the sunnah position is to squat. That means to sit on your thighs. And you know, when we don't give qadr and respect to the sunnah, then others who are non-Muslims, they make businesses out of it, right? We know that they came up, some of us might know, there's a Squatty Potty that came up, right? You might have heard of it. I did get a picture for that. That's the next one here. You see? So what they did is they're using scientific benefits and they're saying, look, when you sit in that way and your legs are squeezing your stomach, it gets everything out. And if it's not done this way, then later on in your life, there are diseases that can develop in that area because you were never relieving yourself completely. So that's why it is uncomfortable to sit like that. But the wisdom is the body, it goes through a process and it pushes the whole digestive system to become clean. And that's why they came out with this and they're selling it everywhere that, okay, there's a, you can put your legs on top and squeeze your stomach. But again, we're going back to the sunnah. Now, we don't have those options. If we can't change the toilet, okay, and somebody uses this and he makes the niyat of sunnah, then inshallah, he will get the reward of sunnah. Because to sit on the regular seat this way, it can break the seat, right? We are a heavy person, a big guy, and he's trying to sit. He's trying to imagine what would happen. You end up hurting yourself. And I know some people have tried to do that. It's very, very difficult. And it also breaks the toilet seat. So this is a nice way. If we can get one of those and you do the sunnah in niyat, then inshallah Allah will give us the reward for that. Another example of that was the miswak. I have that too. So this miswak, we don't use it. But what are others doing? They're taking it, making it into something where they can make money out of. They're talking about the benefits. Give it a different form. It's the same thing. They put miswak into a brush and then sell it and talk about all the benefits of using it. They're even talking about using the miswak, but they won't mention Islam whatsoever. Right? It's just about something they came up with and discovered. So Rasulullah has already taught us these things 1400 years ago. And every sunnah of the Prophet has numerous benefits. So we have to make the niyyah that from now on, inshallah, we'll try our best to do these things correctly and medically also. Yeah, they are saved on here. Inshallah, whoever needs it, you can email it out to them. But I'm not trying to advertise anything here. I mean, you can get it from wherever. They have these on Amazon. MashaAllah. So positioning ourselves, squatting, not sitting towards the Qibla, or not putting our back towards the Qibla, all of that has to be kept in mind. Sitting in a place, if we are in a village area, now most of us are not in that case, but if we go in jamaahs and if you travel a lot, many times there are not bathrooms in many countrysides of Pakistan. So what do? They make sure they don't sit close to a tree where people benefit from, like the shaded tree, a tree which people eat fruits from, or a pathway, any place that the community will be disturbed by, all of those things have to be taken out, that this is not a good place to relieve yourself. That's why they have particular areas where they keep walking down and go behind a big rock and make sure that it's not a pathway for the people. So once it starts harming people, and then it will become disliked. Okay, the things to use for istinja. We have the water, of course, is the best thing to use. Now, let's go back a little bit. At the time of Rasulullah, both things were encouraged. And even now, if it can be applied, lumps of earth, zameen ke jo dhele hote hain, Urdu we say dhele, they make lumps of earth. And many masajid in Pakistan, in India, you find in the bathroom, they have these things collected on the side, so people want to use it. Now, it seems a little difficult, but both of those things, if both are applied, that's afzal. It's known to be the best way of doing istinja, that first the lump of earth is used, then the water. So it leaves no trace whatsoever of any najasat. My teacher, he would say that the time of Rasulullah, the type of food was different. And they would eat boiled food, they would eat things that are just roasted, not too many spices, not too much masala and all that. So when they relieved themselves, it was easier to clean. It was easier for them. But at our time, we have the curry, we have the masala, then we have all the mirchi and all the problems, right? So now when we relieve ourselves, you know there's an effect there, right? And that can only be removed by water. It cannot be done with anything else. So if we are thinking about that, it's better to stick just with the water. Toilet paper, it's made for this task. That's why it's allowed to use toilet paper. But when we use toilet paper, both have to be used, toilet paper and then water, because the paper might not do the job correctly. Again, it's not because of the sunnah, it's because of the food we are eating nowadays, that it has to be done correctly. Sometimes it's spread, we know all the detail there. So water is the only thing that can give us satisfaction of being pure. Now the question might arise of other things like printed paper, bricks. Now these are very obvious things to understand, that when an object is made for a particular reason, and if it's being used for istinja, it's going to go to waste. So printed paper is used for, it's a alatul ilm, it's a tool for learning and teaching. So it has a sense of respect there. So you cannot use it for istinja. Similarly, bricks, we understand obviously it's going to cause harm to our body. Bones. As far as the bones are concerned, there is a hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ where he said, in Tirmidhi, where Rasulullah ﷺ has said that, لَا تَسْتَنْجُوا بِالْرَوْثِ وَلَا بِالْعِظَامِ فَإِنَّهُ زَادُ إِخْوَانِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. And Rasulullah ﷺ said that, do not use manure, that means remains of other animals, for istinja, and do not use bones for istinja, because it is actually the food of your brethren from the jinn. Jinnat ki wo ghiza hai. Now, I'll just elaborate on that a little bit, that it's not the bones itself that the jinns eat, but when jinns go towards the bone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts meat on it for them. Sometimes we think that jinns are going to eat the bones, don't eat it. But the reality is that in one hadith where Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, I went with Rasulullah ﷺ, Laylatul Jinn. It's a very long hadith. In that hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ had mentioned that I recited Quran unto them, and they had a question. Remember, the way Sharia is for human beings, there's a different code of following Islam for jinns as well. They are mukallaf. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The way we are expected to be worshipping Allah, believing Allah, following Rasulullah ﷺ, the jinn are as well. The following aspect, how to implement the deen, there's different ways for them. So their question was, what should we eat? What should we eat? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَكُمْ كُلُّ عَظْمٍ ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. For you is every bone on which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been taken. يَقَعُ فِي أَيْدِيكُمْ أَوْفَرَ مَا يَكُونُ لَحْمًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi said, when you go close to it, it will come to you filled with meat. When you go close to the bones, they will come close to you filled with meat, that Allah will put it. And this is the system, unseen system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah knows how Allah does it for them. Some people, they even gather the bones and put it respectfully. That's not needed for us. There's no responsibility towards us. We shouldn't eat the bones, of course, there's not. But we can throw it out, and after that, how they eat it and how it's filled with meat for them, that does not regard us. But Rasulullah ﷺ instructed them that the bone, and also dhukira smullahi alayhi, that bone on which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been taken, that again, to eat what is halal is also instructed to the jinns. Then we have the glass, of course, very harmful. How can a person do istinja? And coal. Now coal is for a particular reason, right? To make fire, for barbecue. So when something is made for a particular aspect, then to use it for istinja, it will make it go to waste. So we cannot use that either for the istinja. So toilet paper is particularly designed for it? Yes. And water, of course, water has to be used. Even if we're in rest areas where we couldn't get water, and for the temporary time we use paper, then later when we do get home, we take time out and use the water and clean ourselves. And this way, inshallah, we'll get the satisfaction of the purity. Then we have the precautions, some things to keep in mind when istinja is being done. This is where many people make mistakes. The first is protecting ourselves from urine drops. This is something that is so severe in many sahih hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ indicated that this person is going through azab al-qabr. استنزهوا عن البول فإن أكثر عذاب القبر منه. Rasulullah ﷺ said, avoid or protect yourself from urine drops, because many times the azab al-qabr is because of this. So now what happens? When we go into the bathroom, if we find urine drops on the toilet seat, that's still in the same ruling. We have to protect ourselves. So cleaning it is not actually helping others, we're helping ourselves. So it's good to be clean and clean the bathroom and then use it. So we don't have any urine drops on ourselves. Another hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ where two people, the Prophet ﷺ indicated, are going through azab al-qabr. He's going through the graveyard and he said these two people are having azab right now. One of them was because of having namima. Namima is just Urdu mein kehte hain kina. It's a higher level of hatred when a person hates another person and then he also plans to damage or to harm that individual. So he's going through azab al-qabr because of. And the other person is the one who was not being careful of urine drops. So when we go in the bathroom, if we feel the drops have come up, well, we have to wash that area and make sure that no urine drops have come onto us. And, you know, we should also make dua. Sometimes we don't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from the azab al-qabr. But these are those things to be particularly careful about. The second point is istibra. Now, this is a higher level of istinja. Istibra is only for the men. What is istibra? It comes from the word bara'at, to free yourself. So, after men, this is for men in particular. After we have relieved ourselves, we have to take extra steps to make sure no drops come later on. Now, scholars have written different options. They said sometimes you have to sit up and sit down, or, you know, for a few times sit up and sit down. And some have written that you have to press the area between the two private parts. So in that, by pressing that, if there's any remains of urine left, they'll come out at that time. By rushing, what happens? You'll come out, you might even be in prayer, and then you'll feel that something just came out, right? And by that coming out, wudu breaks, and now again you have to go istinja and all over again. So taking that extra 5 minutes after istinja will save us in the longer run. So istibra means to make sure that you are completely free from that najasa, from that filth. Now, if we can stand up and move around for a while in the bathroom, or uthak baithak karna, thoda sa hilna, for coughing, there's many, many different ways that are written. So we get content that nothing, because we know that the men's genital system is such that when we stand up, it straightens up. And after that, there's possibility of drops coming out. So it has to be done at that time. And another safe thing to do is to put a tissue paper. It's very important that even if we're content, we put it anyways, that if later some drops have come out, they're going onto the tissue and it's not going to come onto our clothes. So we can go and change the tissue and then istinja again and do wudu again if something has come out. So that's what istibra is. And number three is to achieve content of purity. Now some people will say wash 3 times, wash 7 times. Those numbers are not there in Quran and Sunnah. The point is to do it to the extent where you feel, okay, now I have cleaned myself. That, and it can be different for different people. Some people do it very slowly. If you're rushing, then you have to slow down in these cases, that they're very essential when it comes to tahara. إِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَالطَّهَرُ. And Rasulullah ﷺ was also instructed for Masjid Quba over other masajid. When Masjid Quba was made, فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَرُ. The Sahaba ikram were being praised because they would take extra measures for cleaning themselves. They had lumps of earth, but they also used water. And they took time in these things. So they were praised in the Quran that they like to be extra careful when it comes to purity. Now the details of this whole thing is that to pour water with the right and to wash with the left. This is the general case. To pour water on our private area with the right hand and wash with the left. Now in some books you will find that there's even a procedure when we're washing after stool, when we wash ourselves, then which way to go. Some say that in the summer, for the men, they say in the summer, they should go from the front to the back, that procedure. And in the winter, they say go from the back to the front. And the reason for that is the testicular system, the size changes because of the weather. You know, we don't have to be ashamed about these things, but this happens. So it doesn't matter if we have changed the direction and whatever way we are doing. The last point, that's what we want to talk about. To achieve the content that, chalo, maine itna kar liya, main paak ho chuka. Like your mind will tell you, or your overwhelming understanding will tell you that yes, you've done enough. So after that is done and you're getting wasawis, it could be a disease. Let's say you took extra measures for every part. Then in the masjid you come, you're still thinking, maybe I didn't do it right. Maybe something came out, something happened. And this is also a part of a disease people develop. And they keep going for wudu again, and they keep going istinja again and again. In these cases, then scholars have said, once you have achieved content while you're doing it, after that, forget about it. Don't think about it again and again and again. It will make it completely impossible to do it then. Yes, very good question. For the tissue as well, because the tissue is used for the istinja, it will be left hand for tissue as well. And for washing, the left hand. But to pour the water as a support, the right hand can be used. Now, if a person is completely mazur, he cannot use, he doesn't have hands, or he's paralyzed, he cannot use it. So someone can help him pour the water, but nobody is allowed to touch his private parts except for his wife. That's the only exception there, that the wife can step in and do all the khidmat of that nature, no one else. So if somebody is assisting with the water, that would be allowed for those who are crippled or mazur. So inshallah, we're going to stop, cover the istinja part. Any questions, inshallah, related to it? Yes, so the question is tissue paper enough or not? If tissue paper is used, we should use water again after that, when the water is available. Even after getting home, then we should go ahead and use the water. If we're in the rest areas, it's good to have a bottle in your car, and wherever area you're going to use the istinja, it's always good to use the water in any case whatsoever, because if the tissue is not going to do the job correctly, and like I mentioned, it's about the type of food we eat. Before, even lumps of earth would have done the job, but now that's not doing it anymore. Yeah, so the question is that if we take a lot of tissue paper and soak it up, and of course the tissue can hold the water, that much water will be sufficient if we only urinate. Only for urination, that much water will be sufficient, because we can get content after doing it with that. If you try to wipe yourself completely, what's going to happen, that usually isn't enough, and you'll know yourself, if you've done it, you won't get the content, that you'll still need to use the water 3 times, 5 times, 7 times, whatever amount of time, until you get the content that, okay, now I'm clean. And the tissue can be used at the end again to check, I've washed with the water, but if you want to dry yourself and check that if there's any other najasat. Sometimes you can feel it, that because the toilets are designed such that if something falls into it with pressure, water splashes back onto the body, right? And now that water is najas. So we have to make sure we're clean from that water as well. So that's why for urination, you can put water into the tissue and this wipe. But for defecation stool, no, that won't be enough then.
Flush it out, they use the water and just clean themselves. And the water spills out from the
window. Is it, are you saying after? When is this? Can you repeat?
Somebody just from the pool. They clean. And before he just flush it out, uses the water to clean himself.
Okay.
So the water is.
And that water is still the one, he hasn't flushed before? Okay. So if it's one of those high-tech toilets where it flushes automatically, then you're safe that, okay, it flushed. But in regular cases, that water that's there, it's all najas now, because there's najasat. So if it splashes back up, then yes, you have to wash that area again. Yes? So first of all, we have to determine what's coming out. So I think in one of the sessions we've already done this. If it's ejaculation, if it's sperm, now there's a problem. You have to take a shower in that case. But if it's any other discharge that sometimes happen right after urination, it doesn't have a color, but you felt some water came out, that's called wadi. Now, in that case, it's the same as urination. Just a pishab nikal gaya, something wahi hua. So again, he has to do istinja and clean himself again. So if it's sperm, then you're going towards janaba. And we talked about last time that janaba and you have to do the faraiz of ghusl and the whole 9 yards, right? So, but as far as the other type of discharge, wadi and madhi. Madhi is what comes out before ejaculation, when a person is intimate and he's aroused. So a man's genital area becomes wet. So that's madhi. That's also in the ruling of urination. So you have to wash and do wudu again. It breaks the wudu, but it's not janaba. Ji. Ruling for the clothes. Okay. For clothing, we'll try to have a whole session for that. But on the clothing, again, we have to measure that how much of it came on. If it's just a few drops, it's still disliked, because the hadith that I talked about, they point out about this person not being careful. It doesn't say how much urine was on his body or how much got onto his clothes. It means that you're not being careful, so the azab is still there. So we have to be careful. Now, if a small amount came less than a dirham, then okay, with that amount he can still pray, but it's disliked. Pasandida amal nahi hai, makruh keh sakte hain. But agar ek dirham ya usse zyada hoga, phir un kapdon mein phir namaz nahi hoti. So un kapdon mein phir badalna padega. Or you would have to see some clothing are distributed in different areas. So scholars have said that if it's, let's say, the center of the shirt, then 1/4 of it should be impure in order for salat not to be valid. So in many cases, not that much, but we should still go for the preferred way and clean or change our clothes, because we'll have wasawis later on that what if it was too much, right? So and to remove that. Yeah. Repeat that again. The amount. Whatever is visible, like something that we can determine how much, or you can measure out. So it would be both the surface or the substance, but you would have to see yourself that kitna hai. And if it's in different areas, usko mila ke dekhenge ki kitna mere jism pe lag gaya ya mere kapdon pe lag gaya. But always, in all cases, if we take time and do it slowly, inshallah, we shouldn't have a problem. Now, if there are people with the medical issues, right? When they've done everything, it happens again and again and again, then we'll have to see how much time there is in between. If it's too quick, that he cannot even pray 2 rakat, and phir ho ja raha hai, 2 rakat bhi nahi padte, phir nikal ja raha hai, then this person is mazoor. And when he is disabled, then for disabled person, we have to remember that it's for every salat. Fajr time enters, he's going to make wudu, all the way to Zohar time, he can do whatever ibadat. It doesn't matter how many times he goes to the bathroom because of his illness. Inshallah. Okay? Yes. Yes. So immediately the wudu is broken. So he has to leave the prayer, come back, and then after all the har. Yes. So let's say if it's just passing of gas, right? So in that case, you'll see that it doesn't apply here. We didn't talk about that. So that's just the wudu breaks. Now he just has to make wudu and come back. Similarly, to laugh out loud, we talked about this in Nawafidul Wudu, that laughing out loud in the salat, it also breaks the salat and the wudu. So in these cases, just wudu, and then you come back and repeat the prayer. The question is about the defecation of Rasulullah. So scholars have said that right when it would come out, the earth would take it in. It would never be left over that somebody would see or check it out how it is. It wasn't like that. Whenever Rasulullah relieved himself, the earth would dissolve it completely. So it was not found in any case that we have to go in the details of that. So, yes. 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 So, If the time of prayer, we're going with the time of prayer, so not Iqama time, the time of prayer, let's say Fajr enters 4:20 or something. So at that time, now for him, those are those limits. So once that time has started, he's going to make wudu at that time, and it will go on all the way up to the entering time of Zuhr. And then it will keep going the same way. Now when the time of Zuhr enters, his previous wudu will automatically break. Now he has to make wudu again, and all the way to the entering time of Asr, he can carry on his ibadah. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد مبارك وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله. Inshallah, if sisters have any questions, they can write it, send it over, email it, or text it. Inshallah, JazakumAllah khair. Subhanallah.